All right. Thank you for that message and psalm. There is a warfare of prayer. And when that battle on your knees is often the, we're going to find out when we get to heaven that praying was behind more than we thought. Amen. I appreciate the music again. We did it last week, and then we had some things to say on Wednesday night concerning the 4th. You know, it's hard to separate. We shouldn't try to separate it too much. Real patriotism for our country has its origin in God. Our country had its beginning there. I'm not going to preach that way this morning, that direction that I often do on the 4th. We did a little bit last week and a little bit on Wednesday night. But the truth is that God may have raised up America that we could spread freedom to the world. There is a definitely tie-in, the foundation, godly foundation of America. Much of the resentment we're seeing today is against that very truth and trying to deny that truth to in so many places. I want you to go to the book of Galatians. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 1. To give something for the tape room to put on the tape up there, I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning about different worlds, different worlds. The book of Galatians, if you notice in the verse 1 or 2 there, verse 2, it says it's written unto the churches. It says, Paul an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, and here he's addressing now, unto the churches of Galatia. Sometimes we speak of the church of Galatia, but there's more than one. The word Galatians comes from the word Gaul, really. It means the land of the Gauls. And we don't know all about the location, Asia Minor, here we understand. But, you know, France used to be named Gaul. And so we don't know all about that necessarily. But Paul is writing to the church. I'm not going to get into the main reason. He was afraid they were beginning to let heresy and Judaizers come in and mess with them and lose their grace and truth, the truth of grace. So that was basically the purpose of the book. But I want to take for a text a little bit further down. It says, and the brethren which are with me, the churches of Galatia, grace be to you. Peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, verse 4 I want to deal with in particular today. I want you to notice to begin with, says deliver from this present evil world. Now, the word world in the Bible shows up quite a bit in different ways, in different contexts. We think about different worlds. We generally think of science fiction or dimensions and planets. And I guess it was Orson Welles back in, what, the 30s or 40s that turned the country upside down when he, on his radio program, began to say the Martians were invading and scared everybody to death. Well, nowadays, you got that stuff all over your TV and everywhere. And some folks are looking for an alien invasion. Some think it'll be good. Some think it'll be bad. I even understand the Vatican has an expensive telescope out in Arizona where they're looking for E.T. to come. You and I are looking for the Lord Jesus to come. But science fiction deals with the world somewhat. And all kind of theories abound. And what it's really doing is setting the stage for major end-time deception that the Bible predicts. But in a practical experience today, in a practical way, I want to speak of the world and in this sense. Now, have you ever said that person there is just living in their own little world, right? In the cyber age now, we can say they're spaced out, they're living in their own little space right there, and there's a lot of truth to that, I fear. But you know what I'm talking about, their own little world, so to speak. I want to say today we are seeing a deadly gap of ignorance in discernment concerning world views, even local views around us somewhat we may be ignorant of. But yeah, I see on the news that it just, I can't understand, could this be America when you got the, you got one political party now that's pushing socialism to take away capitalism. And it's really, really kind of crazy. I mean, where tell me this, and I don't want you to, but you can't tell me where socialism has worked. It certainly didn't work in Cuba. It certainly didn't work in Russia, and it won't work in America either. I mean, it comes to an end when the politicians can give away somebody else's stuff until the people don't have any stuff left to give away. And you got a crowd, though, that thinks they're entitled to what somebody else sweated and worked for. And that's what socialism is, and it kills the incentive and the work ethic, and our country is going to hurt from that. But we've got a situation today where people don't see the world view. They don't see the big picture. America has been an experiment, so to speak, in nations, and God's blessing has been on it, and we've taken a work ethic from the Bible that if a man won't work, neither should he eat. That's God's plan. That's what he said in the book. Amen. But we got a deadly gap of ignorance today, ignorance of discernment in worldviews. Now, I'm looking at the text here in verse 4, and it calls this world the present evil world. Now, we know it pretty well, don't we? This is the place of our joys and our happiness. It's also the place of our heartbreak and pain. We understand something about this is the place of our feelings and the place of our problems and all that. We know something about its reality. We know something about its laws. We didn't have to get very old before we knew the law of gravity would make you fall out of the tree, right? We begin to learn about it. We learn sometimes we get too much rain. Sometimes we get too much hot. Sometimes we get too much cold. We understand about this old physical world, and we live under the elements. We live under the laws of this old world. Somebody says that that fellow's so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good. We do understand there's a promise of the blessed by and by, but we also understand we live in the nasty now. And that's the world I'm talking to you about here for just a little bit. The reality of it. We do know it well. It's called evil here in the text, this present evil world. And this whole world is under a curse. That's why things aren't just right all the time. That's why you get too much rain or too much hot or too much cold. Distribution is a big part of the world's problems. And you look around today and you see the struggle. Do you understand when we have a hurricane in Florida, what happens? We have a weather mass coming one way, bumping into another weather mass, and that struggle is what creates the problem. You understand that? Now, the truth of the matter is, we recognize this old world's under a curse. If you don't think it is, when you go out and check your grass, see how many weeds is growing in it. That's the curse pronounced in Genesis, right? And we understand that. Now, that's the old earth that we're talking about, the old world. But in the daily news, we see the struggle of life and death. We see the struggle of good and evil in this world that we talk about. And we see it operating by wrong philosophy. Jesus said, "Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you." We call it the golden rule. But the world's flipped that a little bit. And their idea is, do others before they do you, right? And somebody says the golden rule is he who has the gold rules. And there's some truth to that. We see that, but we see because man's depravity and man's fallen covetous nature that he has a struggle in this life. It comes from a wrong philosophy. We have greed for gain. The president's in trouble over his trade wars. You know what's the problem with the trade wars? Greed. I applaud him for trying to correct things because America's been paying the bills way, way too long. I'm all for that. But you know what? What the difference is there is whose lunchbox being eaten out of? Whose lunchbox is being stolen from? I mean, who's got an interest here and an interest there? And the self-interest in America is in a great trouble, but it all comes back from a philosophy. The 10th commandment says, I shall not covet, and yet we are covetous people. And it's okay for us to get the big end of the stick, but we've been getting the little end of the stick for a long time as far as nations go. But we look around and see what the problem is. It's a personal thing. Abraham Lincoln was walking down the street with his two boys when they were little fellas, and both of them were crying. And as he came by a neighbor's house, the neighbor in the yard said, Mr. President, what is wrong with your boys? And Lincoln said, the same thing that's wrong with the world. I got two sons and three pieces of hard candy, and both of them want two. You understand what he was saying? He's right on that. He's right on that. No doubt about it. We're that way. I've told you the story before of the beggar that met the man on the road, and he was asking for a handout. And the good man said to him, well, I've got 10 coins. I've got 10 gold coins. I see you need. I'm going to give you 9 of these coins, and I'm going to keep the 10th for myself. And he gave him the 9 and turned his back on him and started to walk off. But the beggar came up behind him, hit him in the head, and took the other coin also. You say, I wouldn't do that. I hope not, because I just gave you an illustration on tithing. Did anybody recognize it? God said, all right, just give me 1/10 and I'll let you keep the 9, and you stole his too. Amen. I knew that'd be popular this morning. The truth of the matter is, it's very real. It's very real. That's the nature. That's the nature we see in this old world today. We see it all the time. But I want to speak to you on a different world than what I've just been talking about. I want to speak to you on a world that is within or all around or mixed around with the one I've just been talking about. And it's much, much undiscerned, much missed. I read an article in the newspaper in the Ledger several days back, and I believe it was a reprint from the Atlanta Sentinel, and it was written by a reporter, quite a long article. I didn't read all of it because I got too mad. I quit, but I got the gist of what they were saying, and yeah, preachers get mad. We call it righteous indignation, but anyway, I read the article, pretty much all of it. And the gist of it was this. This reporter had discovered Christian school curriculum. He had discovered Becca. He had discovered Bob Jones. He had discovered Ace and some others, perhaps ours. And he had looked in on the curriculum. And in looking at it, he was so shocked about what we were saying. We were saying that evolution was not a fact. You understand what that problem was? He was finding out about a world he didn't know anything about. He didn't know about how many thousands, perhaps millions, on those curriculums. He didn't understand that Christianity from its beginning took the stand that curriculum is taking. That we believe God was the creator. And that, so that's a world around him, but he knew nothing about it. I ran into that when we were putting the Ten Commandment rock up here in the county, and I had all the reporters come around, and some of the dumbest things and questions that they asked beat all I have ever seen. I finally one day said to one of them, hey man, there's a whole world out there you ought to investigate it. It's called the Christian world. It's got a whole different drumbeat that we march by instead of what you do, and you're so smart. But yet you're so dumb, you don't even know that millions of people out there know something you don't know. Amen and amen. Couldn't believe we were against evolution. Now, that's their own ignorance. Real science, I said real science is against evolution. Evolution is still a theory. That's why it's called a theory. Do you know that evolution was basically started by the man? We're going to say Charles Darwin. Do you know that Charles Darwin was not a scientist? Do you know he did not have a scientific degree? When we have the college in and these young men that are sitting here around here that are college students, they're out, generally most of them are after a BA in Bible. Do you know what Charles Darwin had? He had a BA in Christian theology. He had a BA that he had gotten from Christ College in Cambridge, and he only got it, and he did poorly in his studies because his daddy thought he was going to be a bum and sent him to college. His daddy accused him of being interested only in dogs and guns and ratting, R-A-T-T-I-N-G. Rats were so common over there in England that it was a sport to kill them, and Charles Darwin liked to kill rats. And his dad said, you ain't going to be, if I was modernizing his dad's conversation, I'd say this. He was afraid that Charles Darwin was going to be a couch potato. He wasn't going to be worth nothing. He's going to be a failure. So he tried to send him to medicine school, but he dropped out of that. He couldn't do any good. And so his daddy said, you know what? They pay the pastors pretty good in this Christ College here at Cambridge. And they send them out to churches, and they get a pretty good salary, so I want you to get a religious degree. That didn't work too well for Charles either. I'm just telling you, he wasn't a scientist. He threw out a theory when he was 22 years old, and because Europe and a whole bunch of people were moving, trying to move away from God, they took his theory of evolution, they took it as an alternative to God, and that's still why it's being pushed today in the buildings of lower education. Amen. 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 Still why it's pushed, they don't want to face God. I read where our so-called scientists said not long ago, yeah, we know it's got faults, but we're going to stick with it because it's the only alternative to God. Wow. Do you know the greatest scientists in the world, Isaac Newton, Francis Bacon, James Clerk Maxwell, all of those fellas, we owe so much to their discovery. For you folks that are high tech, do you know you wouldn't have radio, you wouldn't have TV, you wouldn't have radar, you wouldn't have satellite, therefore you wouldn't have your cell phones. I'm meddling with you now. Some of you got the addiction. Anyway, you wouldn't have that except for a fellow named James Clerk Maxwell, born in about 1830s, died in his late 40s. Einstein said he changed the world because we're still operating on his principles that make the cell phone, make the radar, make the TV, all of this business that we take for granted today. And you ought to see that man's testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you got Isaac Newton, and you got Francis Bacon. Francis Bacon was a great scientist and gave us some great scientific models. And you know what he did? He helped the translating committee for the King James Bible. See, real scientists never believed in evolution. In fact, I believe it was maybe Maxwell that said, one of them said this. He said, you don't need to defend creationism. He said, because cause and effect demands a creator and demands that creation be true. It demands design. How many of would you believe I was just walking down the road and I heard a noise in the bushes and I picked up this watch and it was already made? It had a maker though, didn't it? I tell you what, if you don't believe that, take a hammer to your watch, just beat it all to pieces, put it in a box and shake it up and see if it comes back together. Shake it a year, shake it 100 years, shake it 1,000 years, it'll still be a bunch of pieces in a box. You gotta have a creator, you gotta have a watchmaker, you gotta have a designer, you gotta have some power of creation behind it. And it's amazing to me, and young people, you need to run up your antenna to what I'm saying. You've sat in Sunday school, you've sat in church, you've been in a Christian school, and you're hearing what I'm saying, and you're going to go off to some stupid college, and they're going to teach you the opposite. They have no proof. They have no evidence. They call it a theory. It's a theory to get away from God, but one day they're going to face that God they say was not the creator. Amen, amen and amen. Charles Darwin, his faith didn't last. I'm talking about his faith in evolution. On his deathbed, he changed his mind. Most of them do. Oh, yeah. In fact, he even started sending support to missions. It's documented in the missions book. In the South American Missionary Society's book, they call it SAMS for short. You can look in there and see where Charles Darwin, in the last number of years of his life, sent a mission offering. He said, well, nobody can convert the heathen. They're too bad. And then all of a sudden, he began to think maybe they could. And he saw some evidence they did, and he started supporting missions. Do you support missions? Wow, I'm really meddling this morning. But the truth of the matter is, we look around today and there's some folks that live in one world and they know nothing of the other world. And when I'm talking about these reporters writing an article like they did, they live in a world and they don't know a thing about the Christian world. And they were shocked and they tried to twist it around to say, look here, these Christian schools operating on tax money and they don't even believe in evolution. Number one, we're not operating on tax money. Number two, we never have believed in evolution. We believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, like the Bible says. Amen? But the different world for some, they know nothing about it. Know nothing about it. I hear young folks sometimes say, well, that's the real world. I want you to know something. The real world is what you hear about in this pulpit. The real world is what you read about in this book. The real world is God's people. The false world is the world that knows nothing about what I'm talking about to you today. Think about it. How many of you would like to get in an automobile or airplane? Let's take an airplane, for instance. How many of you would like to get in an airplane and just take off going somewhere? And maybe you riding with others and you look at some of the rest of them around and you say, where are we going? And they say, well, we don't know. So somebody says, well, let's talk to the pilot. So he comes out and they said, where are we going? He said, I don't know, but we're making good time. How would you like that? That's what you're doing passing through this world where you don't know where you're going. You have no direction. You have no plan. But you're happy they're serving drinks. Right? The weather's good. Right? But where are you going? Where are you going? Man, that's important. Where are you going? Some folks are riding this planet we call Earth, this old world, and it's just speeding right on through space, but they don't know where they're going. Have no idea where they're going. And yet, in our world, Christian world, Bible world, God's world, we know where we're going. And then they look at us and say, oh, you believe in a creator. Right, we're going to go meet him. He's at the end of the line. What's at the end of your line? Where are you going to wind up at? Who are you going to meet when the plane lands or crashes? Amen. No, I'm talking to you about different worlds. There are people all around us, on the job, in school, everywhere, know nothing of our world. And folks, it is a shame that we don't try to introduce them to it. We need to be telling them about what we know. Don't ever get intimidated. I didn't get my degree. I can't talk with the intellectuals. Hey, they need your help. They're dumb as a brick if they don't know Jesus. Amen and amen. Young people, I hope you're listening to me a little bit this morning, because some of you you're gonna get that little old tassel turned and you're gonna walk right out into the mess I'm talking to you about. Don't let them lie to you that they know more than you. If you know Jesus, you know more than they do. Amen. The text here talks about a world to come, though. Look at it in verse 4. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present. Get the word present right now. Present evil world. That's what it is right now. But now in the word present, Paul is saying, and Jesus is saying through Paul, this is the present world that tells you there's something future. There's more than just right now. That's what he's saying. And if you went through the Bible, you'd find the word world many times and many explanations of it. Over, for instance, if you were to look, and I won't ask you to turn for time, but John 17, listen to this. In John 17, you'll find out that the Lord Jesus is talking about two different worlds. And he's talking about his people in this world. He says in verse 15, I pray not. Now, this is the real Lord's prayer. He's talking to his Father. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He said of his believers, they're in an evil world. Lord, I don't want you to take them out yet, but I want you to keep them from the evil. That's what he said. Then verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Do you know, believers, we are living in a world that's not our home. We're just passing through. Yeah, that's the old song. We're pilgrims passing through. Our home's laid up beyond the blue, the song says. And that is the truth. This is not my final home. This is a place I tabernacle in for a while. I pass through it, but I go through it. I'm not of the world. I'm in the world. But I'm not of the world. That's why those that don't understand my world get shocked when they find out some. I've had people come to church here. I'd tell them about Jesus coming. I'd tell them about what he's going to do. And they left with their eyes bugged out. What a fairy tale. You mean your fairy tale is better that we come from a little tadpole under a rock by accident? Uh-uh. We mean more than that. God loved us and made us. The truth is, I'm more valuable than a tadpole coming up under a rock and finally turned into an ape and then to a college professor. I'm more valuable than that. My God put a design on me. He had a plan for me. Amen. I'm talking about the real world to come. He's delivered us from this present world. That's what he says. And you know what? Even in this present world, Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for those, that's the real Lord's Prayer, John 17. He prayed for those that would yet in the future believe on him. So that means he prayed for me because I believe on him. You believe on him? Then God prayed for you. God the Father heard God the Son's prayer in John 17. And he prayed for all those in the future that would believe. And that includes you if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, right now, in this present evil world, Jesus can deliver us from the power of sin. That's what Jesus prayed for. Deliver them from the evil. He said, Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world right now, but deliver them from the evil in the world. Do you know it's possible for you to have power to be delivered from the very sin right now that has power? Sin has power. Oh, yes, it does. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, he said, all things are not expedient for me. He said, I won't be brought under the power. He said, by grace I can do it, but I won't be brought under the power of any. Do you know you'd be delivered from the power of sin? You say, preacher, I've been hooked on tobacco. I've been hooked on dope. I've been hooked on alcohol. I've been hooked on all the sin I could stand up here and name. You can get deliverance from that right now. Right now, if you turn it over to the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's your Savior, he can deliver you from the power of sin. Jesus said, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. In other words, you've been mastered by it. You've been captured by it. You're under its power. But he said, you can be delivered from that. I like that. I guarantee you, when I met Jesus, began to follow his word, he delivered me from a lot of things, from the power of a lot of things. And he will you. He will you if you give him a chance. You know, one day he's not only going to deliver us from the power of sin, which he can do now. One day he's coming back. He's going to deliver us from the presence of sin. Now let me ask you a question, honestly. Sometime you're in a certain crowd. Sometime you're in a certain building. Sometime you're... Do you ever get bothered by the presence of sin? Yes, you do if you're saved. If you got the Holy Spirit living in here, you're miserable sometimes in places we wind up in for a little while. Not happy, not comfortable. One day, when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom, he'll deliver me from the very presence of sin. I'll be caught up with him. I'll come back with him. I'll help him rule and reign. And I want to say to you, yes, there will be fleshly bodies in the millennial kingdom. And some will try to rebel against the Lord. Did you ever read where he comes back? He's going to rule and reign with what? A rod of tissue? A rod of sponge, a rod of iron. That means he's going to take control. He's going to be in control. Does it mean everybody's going to like it? Probably not. But he's still going to be the king of kings. He's going to have his kingdom. He's going to rule in his kingdom. One day in that kingdom, we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. I'll give you a verse for it. In Matthew chapter 13, you can read over there where the parable of the tares, you can read where he says when he comes back that he'll send forth his angels and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things. Watch it now. All things that offend and them which do iniquity. You mean in the kingdom of Christ when he comes back, he's going to take out the things that offend? Yeah. No abortion. No homosexual marriage. I can just go right on down the list. He's going to clean this old planet Earth up. In his kingdom, no. He's going to take care of it. He's going to get out of everything that offends and those that do iniquity. That's what he said. I just read it. I didn't write it, but I read it. Matthew 13:41. You can look at it. Going to send forth his angels, all things that offend. This old world here that we labor in, struggle in, and daily struggle with, it's a temporary place. It's got a big change coming. There are different worlds mentioned in the scripture. And even right now around us, people don't understand our world, and they're shocked sometimes. We sometimes are shocked at their world, but we shouldn't be. Except for the grace of God, we'd be out there participating with them. Right in it. There's a difference. Now, you have a choice on which world you're going to pick. You do know that, don't you? You can live in Jesus' world or you can live in the world's world, the devil's world. He is the God of this world, the Bible says. You can make your choice which one you're going to do, which one you want. A lot of fears today. What's going to happen to planet Earth? What's going to happen if an asteroid hits? I think it was old Thomas Edison, wise old scientist he was, country boy type scientist. I guess the light bulbs and other things are given, we give him credit for. Thomas Edison was told there's an asteroid coming. It's fixing to hit the Earth. It's going to blow us all away. It's going to destroy the Earth. It's going to be the end of the world. Whoever told him, he smiled and said, that's okay, we can do without it. We can do without it in Jesus. Amen. I mentioned to you some scientists a while ago, Bacon, Newton, Einstein, all of those, they didn't believe in evolution. They believed in the Creator. And somewhere in my reading, I found a prayer by Maxwell, and I wrote it down, copied it by hand. I'm still old-fashioned. I actually write cursive. And if it don't get cold, I can read it sometime. But let me read you his prayer. I'm going to read it just like he is recorded in his notes, scientific notes. Here's what Maxwell said. Almighty God, who has created man in his own image and made him a living soul that he might seek after thee and have dominion over thy creatures, teach us to study thy works of thy hand, so to receive the blessed word that we may believe on him who thou hast sent, to give us the knowledge of salvation and the remission of our sins, all of which we ask in the name of the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Say, who prayed that? One of the greatest scientists. Are you smarter than him? Are you going to bow your knee to the God of this world and say, well, we just happened by accident. We just come along. The water got the right temperature and a lightning bolt hit it and we all sprang up. Right? That's foolishness. Pure foolishness. I know I'm on the radio and I just hope I just rubbed some folks wrong out there today that listen. You're a fool if you don't believe in the Creator. That's what the Bible calls you. It says the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. No, there's a God. He is the Creator, and he's God the Father that sent his Son to die for your sins, to deliver us from this present evil world. That's the text. Deliver us from this present evil world. He wants to deliver you this morning. He'll deliver you from the power of sin. That stuff you'd like to quit and you can't, he can give you the power to quit it. One day he's coming back and deliver us from the presence of sin. One day the whole world is going to know who the Creator was. They're going to know who Jesus was. The Bible says that when that day comes, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. This morning you can leave that seat and come down the aisle and receive Jesus as your Savior. Confess him now as your Savior. One day you'll confess him, but it'll be too late. He won't be offered to you as a Savior then. You have to face him in judgment. Why not bow the heart to him now and let him be your Lord and Savior? I pray if you're here today and you're not saved, as we sing a song, invite you to come, that you'll willingly, unashamedly come and receive Christ as your Savior. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly to our feet. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we understand that a lot of folks are mixed up. They're living in only what they can taste and touch and feel and gain and grab. This world, that's all it means to them. But Father, we thank you we know of another world. We know of your presence. And that presence is very real, even in this old physical world today. I thank you, Father, that we're following a different drumbeat. We're following a different set of laws. We're walking in the world that Jesus wants us to walk in. We're not part of that other world. We're in it, Lord. We thank you that you can deliver us from the evil even now. We look forward to the day that your world, your kingdom's going to be set up. And thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. I pray right now for the invitation. If there's somebody here unsaved that they'd come and receive Christ. I pray for the one that may be saved and they've been enticed into the wrong world and they're walking more in step with it than they are with you. I pray they would get right with you even this morning. As you have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, I'll Step to the Front. Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing. Just as I